You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I'm here with my partner in crime, my brother from another mother, Kevin. Thank you for joining.
You're welcome. Always good to be here.
Yes, always good. It's so good. It's so good. A lot of things came out of the weekend, particularly not, and I'm not talking about the guy, although there could have been. I don't know. I don't follow him around. He might have had a lot of things coming out of him this. No, honestly, I don't know. But we're talking about the weekend with Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. Big announcements. Probably the biggest one, the one that overshadowed everything, was Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. was announced as being Dr. Doom. They brought out a bunch of little Dooms, which they all looked ridiculous, by the way, in robes.
And were they supposed to be Doom bots or something?
Maybe. I don't know. They definitely weren't bots. They were people. But then it was followed by an even dorkier costume with a mask. And everybody in the audience was not expecting Robert Downey Jr. It was the biggest shock of the year. It sent ripples through the comic book community. Kevin, did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you would see Robert Downey Jr. play Dr. Doom?
Nope, that was not the person I was thinking. I was thinking like a Mads Mikkelsen, a Michael Fassbender, you know, someone like that.
Yeah. Or Cillian Murphy. Somebody even shouted his name right before Robert Downey Jr. pulled off his mask to reveal who he was.
That's true.
They were like, it's Cillian. And boom, it was RDJ. And the whole crowd went completely insane.
Yep, they lost their minds.
I mean, insane. That was the biggest announcement. They did a precursor to that, though, with the drone show, which I thought was really cool. But we'll get back to that. With the Robert Downey Jr. thing, though, it opens up a lot of what-if type scenarios. Now, we're obviously... Everybody's thinking that they're going from the infamous Iron Man storyline, which is basically another version of Superior Spider-Man storyline, where Doc Ock gets into the body of Peter Parker and tries to do good in honor of Peter Parker. And that was an interesting concept. It was one that was a little long in the tooth. It went on for way too long, in my opinion. If they could have shortened it instead of running it for like a year and a half, that would have been great. But I digress. I kind of cashed my chips in and got out before they finished the story just because it was taking forever and I did not have as much disposable income. So then they're like, well, let's how about this infamous Iron Man where Dr. Doom becomes Iron Man? I mean, he wears metal. Tony Stark wears metal. Let's let him become Iron Man. So they did that. So basically, you know, it was the Tony Stark AI. Victor Von Doom revealed to him, hey, guess what, bitch? I'm going to take the Iron Man armor and I'm going to become Iron Man and I'm going to do good, or I'm going to try. We'll see. Maybe I'll do bad. I'm Victor Von Doom. Doom does what he wishes. And that's a basic premise. So, but there's also a lot about the Thing in there too, Ben Grimm. So it'll be interesting to see if they loop in the Fantastic Four in with this, because the Fantastic Four, I believe, is coming out before this. So,
yes, it is. Coming out next year.
So we're getting the Fantastic Four movie, and that's where we lead to the drone story. When we get into the drone story is above Petco Park, about a million drones got together to advertise Wolverine Deadpool, which needed no advertising at all, by the way. It made a bajillion dollars. And then they decided to start to do a drone of Galactus coming out of Petco Park, and people went nuts. It was pretty amazing. You can watch the footage on YouTube. I think it's spectacular if you get a chance to check it out. And then they do the Fantastic Four logo as if Johnny Storm is creating it with his flames, which is really awesome.
That is really cool. And I remember last year we saw some drone action when I was in San Diego. So now they're getting really creative, getting a bunch of drones to create art.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it's super impressive, and it is something they tinkered with last year. They did a drone show to advertise some things, and I saw it. We were on the rooftop at a downtown bar in San Diego when we saw that, and we thought that was pretty spectacular. And then they upped their game. You know, they were like, okay, we did that. Let's go full out. Let's go balls to the wall. Let's show these people what we can do. And boy, did they ever show us what they could do. I was just super, super impressed with this whole thing. I don't know, the drones, it just looks so cool. They did it in like a 3D format and with Galactus coming out and stuff. Galactus, I think, is great. So we're going to get Galactus. We've got the Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four, it's been established now, set in the 60s, if I recall. So they're doing the old school Fantastic Four. They're going to do like retro type stuff, which I think is great because updating the Fantastic Four is fine, but a younger Fantastic Four is also really cool. One, you know, maybe they step through time and they get into the present. Maybe they go through a portal and they get into our timeline. There's a lot of things that can be done. They can use the little Doctor Doom or Doctor Strange had those little hand things, the little, you know, what do you call them? They look like brass knuckles.
Like brass knuckles. Yeah, you can use those devices to move.
Yeah, magic
time.
Brass knuckles.
You know what? Wand. Maybe Wand brings them in.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. That could be.
And I think I was telling you before we started recording, it's obvious that Disney and Marvel, you know, they'll do whatever it takes to try and get our money. So I told you one of my theories, and I know it's not just my theory, but I've heard it from other sources, that people believe since this is now the MCM, the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse, and we've already gotten a tease of certain characters from non, you know, formerly MCU movies popping in. Think about it. Deadpool and Wolverine is the first MCM or MCU, MCM mutant movie. You got basically the Fox characters, the Fox Marvel characters coming in finally, Wolverine and Deadpool. And we saw in Spider-Man No Way Home, we saw the other two legacy Spider-Mans of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. I am almost certain that they'll probably do something for Avengers 5 and Avengers 6, especially Avengers 6 being called Secret Wars. And I know Avengers 5 is called Doomsday, but certainly Avengers 6 Secret Wars, when you have to resolve the conflict once and for all, would it make sense with all this multiverse building, they bring in every single legacy character from Fox Marvel, Sony Marvel, New Line Marvel, Netflix Marvel, you know what I mean? And just bring them all together with the other Marvel characters that we've been seeing to have one big spectacular ending in Avengers Secret Wars as they take down Dr. Doom.
That would be kind of cool. I like that idea. The only thing, though, is I feel like they've done that already.
A little bit.
So I don't know if we need a little more bit of that, or if that's just what superheroes do and that's what we have to expect, you know, in every situation.
Just like the comic book summer crossovers, you best believe when it comes to that sweet cash, they probably have thought of something like this already. And also it's a way to close out, get proper closeouts to those other non-Disney Marvel characters. You know, so if you want to give one last go around with the X-Men legacy characters, one last go around, like I said, with the Toby and Andrew, you know, heck, you can give Nicolas Cage a closeout as his Ghost Rider. You could throw him in there for the sake of argument. Give him a quick closeout for his character. Mm-hmm. And Wesley Snipes Blade, you know, the Netflix Marvel characters that they may not want to use again, you know, besides Daredevil, obviously.
To a point, we've already kind of seen, you know, the Blade closeout and stuff. But I get their, you know, fans and stuff wanting a little more, a little taste. Once they get a taste of something or they know something, you know, or they've seen, you know, if you've seen all three films, for example, you know, and you know, you know, Blade's fate, and you know, maybe you want to follow it into another movie, which is fine. You know, you could do that. But I'm thinking we're probably going to see Moon Knight. We're going to get those television, you know, cats. We're going to see She-Hulk. You know, this is where Daredevil's going to make an appearance. Maybe Agatha will be in there somewhere. Vision, you know, White Vision. Maybe Wanda. It might be finally time for a redemption arc for Wanda instead of her just being a crazy bitch. I'm sorry, but she was a crazy bitch.
Young Avengers, the Young Avengers, probably Miss Marvel and was there Kate Bishop? Probably throw them in there too, obviously.
So yeah. Kate Bishop, you like hot sauce, Kate Bishop?
So, and the Thunderbolts, we know that movie's coming, so of course Thunderbolts will be a part of it as well.
Yeah, Thunderbolts, yes. They said that, what's his name? David Harbour, I think?
Harbour.
He said that the Thunderbolts film shakes up the Marvel Universe. And I don't know what he means by that, because honestly, I feel like the Thunderbolts was going to be a throwaway film. You know, it's like just a fun camp film or something. I never saw it.
I guess not anymore.
I never saw it as something more. Well, we'll see. And, you know, Captain America, what is it? New World Order or something? New World Order.
Yeah, New World Order.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, I saw the trailer for it. It definitely looks good. Harrison Ford looks really spry, by the way. Like, he looks excited to be part of the Marvel Universe, which is awesome. That's what you want to see.
We have to assume the script's pretty good, because, you know, a guy like him at his age, in his early 80s, is like, I don't want to keep doing this stuff. So the script had to be something enticing, and maybe he was good friends with the late, great William Hurt, and maybe he said, you know what, let me do this for him. You know, we've had
that instance happen a lot, you know, like, what is it, James Garner stepped in for what's his name? Oh, Jesus. Three's Company. John Ritter. Yeah, he stepped in for John Ritter when John Ritter passed, and you know, that 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. He stepped in for that. So, you know, you've had those instances, and I think it was
and Dumbledore, can't forget Dumbledore.
With Phil Hartman, when he passed in news radio, John Lovett stepped in to kind of fill the void. And then you've had straight up replacements where they just replace the character, which they should do with Kang. I'm not a big fan of them eliminating the Kang Avengers film.
Yeah, they have to resolve that issue somehow. I know people might feel that Loki season 2 resolved the issue, but not entirely.
No.
Not entirely.
No. And that, by the way, that was a horrible season. I hated season two of Loki? I hated it.
Really?
With a passion.
That last episode, I can understand, like, whoa, what's going on here? I can understand that.
I was bored shitless the entire time. I could care less about any fucking thing going on in that thing. I couldn't take it, Kevin.
Wow.
Okay. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I hated it. I thought it was just crap.
You know, it's kind of like when I was talking to you, when I told you when I finally started watching the She-Hulk series, and I was like, you know, it's pretty good, except towards the end, I was like, this is not a good ending.
No. The ending, like, was trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun ride up until the ending. You know, like, it's almost like a lot of fun things.
It's almost like they didn't know what to do. I know they're trying to do the breaking the fourth wall thing a lot, which is, again, we know that She-Hulk in the comic, you would see that. But it's just towards the end when they were doing the whole thing with going to the actual Marvel office to be Kevin Feige, but it's really that robot named Kevin or whatever. Yeah. Okay, that's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting. But after a while, it's like, okay, where's this going? And it just didn't.
It didn't go anywhere.
It wasn't executed properly. It just wasn't well executed.
No, which is what I think they're worried about with this new infamous Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
They're worried that Marvel's throwing a Hail Mary because they're like, okay, well, things haven't been good since Robert Downey Jr. left. Let's bring him back. How can we bring him back? We already said goodbye to Iron Man. Do we really want to bring Iron Man back? No, technically we don't. But what if we brought him back as a different Iron Man?
A variant.
Go on. Yeah, a variant. Oh, okay, go on. Well, we've got the time variant, you know, and maybe we bring him back as, like, Dr. Doom, maybe? Yeah, I remember a story with him as Dr. Doom or something, or Dr. Doom took over for him. Yeah, tell me more about that. And then there we go, you know? So I get it, but it does feel kind of reeking a little bit of desperation. Yeah.
And so contrived. You see, the biggest mistake that Marvel and Disney made, and I get it, goes back to especially when Perlmutter had more authority. Obviously, they were paying Robert Downey Jr. a lot of money during those three phases. And from my understanding, the reason why they killed him off was like, okay, we don't have to pay him anymore. We got Robert Downey Jr. The right to just kill off Iron Man. Because originally, they really didn't want to kill off Iron Man, Tony Stark. It was just something, you know what? This would be a great way to save money moving forward. And if thematically it does work, so okay. But once you had done that, you needed to have a future plan. If you want to keep this thing going, you should have spent more time on the stories for all these movies and TV shows. And I think the problem was they got greedy and you started losing a lack of quality. A little quality control went down, which this year is very smart. Marvel did a very smart thing in Disney. You only have one Marvel movie this year. And hence, they're reaping the benefits, are they not?
With Deadpool, yeah.
Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yeah, one movie.
One movie, and it's going buku, bonkers. Yeah.
Yep.
At the boxes. DC's done it too. They've pulled back.
Yeah.
Did we get a DC movie this year?
I don't think so.
And are we getting a DC movie this year?
Yes, the Joker too. The Joker.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I guess we can count that. I count that more as high art, you know, right. Or something like that
it's not a DC, you know, universe movie.
Yeah, it's not even canon or anything, but it's a smart decision for DC because they're pivoting, they're going with what's been working. Do I necessarily like it? No, I didn't like the first film at all. The Joker. I thought it was terrible. I just thought that, and I think somebody's probably said this a million times and I'm saying it myself, but I feel like they just took a story that they had on the shelf and they said, let's change this guy's name to the Joker and this will be his origin.
That has happened. There'll be other scripts and then all of a sudden they adapt that script into a more mainstream popular movie or character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And that does happen. That does happen.
You can't hate on him for it. I mean, it can make sense for sure. For sure. But it is annoying when it does happen for sure. Also, you know, but I get it. I totally get it. But it's very much like Taxi Cab to me. It's just like kind of like, or, you know, just this guy going off the rails, you know, falling down even, you know, there's a lot of that already out there. And now we're getting another same thing. I just didn't like it. And this one, though, I did see the previews for it and I was like, okay. You know, maybe I could get behind this one because this one does look different. This one does look a little more exciting in a lot of ways. So, and I think the introduction of Harley is a smart move.
The director, he's that type of person. I don't think he would have done a sequel if it didn't make sense. I'm sure he's one of those type of people who does not want to repeat himself.
Isn't he the same director of that franchise when they woke up and they're all hungover on a roof or some shit or... They're all in a hotel room, and Mike Tyson's there.
The Hangover?
Yeah, The Hangover.
Is it the same director? Todd Phillips? As a matter of fact, you are correct.
Yeah, so I don't know so much that he's a director that would not direct something if he didn't have a story.
But I think
The Hangover...
I think the problem with the Hangover sequels, they were just kind of thrown at them, hey, just do it fast. I don't think he had enough time to really think them through the way he wanted to. That's just my opinion. Sometimes, as you know, the studios get greedy. Just go. But hey, look, can I get a little more time to develop the story? No. Just hurry up. You got a date. Let's go. So that's an issue too. Is that, you know, it's the creativity part versus the business part. You know, infamously, you know, one of my favorite movie series, Star Wars, had that problem. The Force Awakens was forced to come out when it did. They want, you know, J.J. Abrams wanted a little more time. But they wouldn't give it to him. It's like, look, we need it out. We have this date set for our investors. You need to get the movie done by this date. And therefore, the movie and the whole sequel trilogy suffered because of that. Mm-hmm. Or even better example, going to DC again, that Justice League movie. Because of a greedy executive, Kevin Sugihara, wanting to get his bonus, he forced them to push Justice League out as fast as they did. And of course... The hypocrisy is when it didn't go well, of course, well, let's fire all these other people from the DC, you know, at the time, the DC studios that they had, you know, Jeff Johns and the other former executives they had at the time, they made them fall on the sword when really it was just the greedy studio executive who's like, no, do this, do that. When you know, and especially when Zack Snyder had his tragedy, even more so, you should have delayed it. But no, let's get it out now. Let's get it out now. Now, 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 now. And guess what? You end up destroying that version of the DC universe. If it wasn't for Aquaman and Wonder Woman, it would have been even more of a disaster.
Yeah. 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 Aquaman and Wonder Woman literally saved that version of the DC cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. Literally. Even though Wonder Woman 2 failed spectacularly. But, you know, people want to blame the pandemic. No, the story was awful. Yeah. But you also, you know, you look at and they thought maybe Aquaman 2 might fail, but it wasn't actually a failure. It was a pretty big success for DC. It did really well internationally, which is great for them.
Yeah. And James Gunn, this is an opportunity to. So, you know what's funny about this one with the Superman Legacy or whatever it's called now, coming out next summer?
Mm-hmm.
This is basically a final shot, at least for a very long time, at DC having their own universe. Like, because basically they're trying to reboot everything. This is basically the Iron Man for them, in a way.
Yeah.
If you F this up, you don't get this right, that's it. Especially with the Superman. You're leading off with Superman, which is great. Nothing wrong with that because Superman, it's Superman, right?
That's what you should lead off with.
But if the story isn't right, I have to trust James Gunn on this one, just like you. I have to believe that he had some time, he put some thought into this when he put the script together, wrote the script, and got the production design team together and the casting. This has to be well thought out, because if it wasn't, then, you know, it is what it is. And guess what? Let's say the movie's good, but it still doesn't make enough money. At least, hey, you did the best you could, and that's all you can ask.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a possibility. You know, this is probably like a $300 million budgeted movie, very likely, right? So if it doesn't work, if it doesn't make $1.5 billion or something like that, whatever the number they need to hit, $1.2 billion, whatever it is they need to hit, and they just pull the plug, well, they tried. And then unfortunately for us and for other people out there, it's just going to be more Batman, 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 Batman only. You know, that'll be the sad fate of it all. They won't trust any other characters from DC besides Batman movies. That's the only guarantee.
That's true.
If you
look on the shelves in the comic book shops and stuff, half of DC's books that come out are Batman or Batman adjacent. You know, mm-hmm. Nightwing, Robin, mm-hmm. Birds of Prey,
Red Hood.
You know, Red Hood. You've got four or five Batman titles running each month.
Harley Quinn, Batgirl, maybe a Joker title. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, yeah,
it's true. It's a sad thing to say. If you somehow took Batman away from DC, they would lose like 2/3 of their money, of their revenue.
They would topple over. They'd be done. But I do agree with Gunn's idea of having Superman lead the way. Mm-hmm. In introducing some characters in Superman that normally a Superman story is just about Superman. And it's interesting that they've really always made it that way. And nobody ever really thought, well, what if we introduce other characters within there to kind of slowly build out and branch out? And mm-hmm. But what if they're not characters we've seen?
That's fine.
And it's like incredible to think that we're going to get B and C level DC superheroes shown in this Superman movie.
Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific, for starters. Not a high-level superhero. He's C-level. You know what I mean? Like, he's always been kind of languished within the Justice Society of America. Take whichever version you want. But, you know, it's nice to see that we're going to get that. You know, that we're getting these characters. Yeah. I think we're getting a Metamorpho too, right?
Metamorpho. That's right.
That's exciting as hell. I love Metamorpho. I've loved Metamorpho forever. And like, he's such a great chemistry character. He's like a nerd character. So I love that. But he's a C-level superhero at best.
And in DC, you know, you, Jared, and myself have spoken about this for years. DC has some rich characters. You know, we love the Marvel characters, of course, but DC has a lot of underused or just unknown to the general public characters that if they got their shine, much like, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy and certainly an Iron Man type characters, you give them a chance, all of a sudden people will embrace them.
All we've done in this podcast is talk about DC's opportunities that they've missed, mm-hmm. or that they've overlooked. Yeah.
Blown.
And there's so many. And if they just get on the ball, first of all, they hire us. That's the best idea.
Well, I know. Hire all three of us.
That's, you know, right. We're James Gunn's right and left arm, and we just tell him, you know, hey, you should do this. Hey, you should do that. Hey, I've been looking up this character. This looks really cool. Let's try this. Let's throw this in there. Maybe we could do a series about this. I mean, Rebels. They did show at Comic-Con, they did show some footage from Creature Commandos, and that looks sick.
Okay.
It looks great.
That's good.
So we're getting that actually in the DC Cinematic Universe. I think the end of this year it's coming. So Creature Commandos is coming, which is going to be stellar. It looks fantastic.
Rebels will be awesome.
Rebels would have been awesome. We'll still cross our fingers on that one actually ever happening, but you know, you never know. Adam Strange would be cool. Any of that stuff would be phenomenal, but we'll see. I mean, again, we'll see. And this all comes back to, it looks like DC is now trying to innovate and Marvel is trying to rehash.
Right.
But again, Marvel's more popular still. And it's crazy to see. So we'll see if that coin flips and, you know, and it goes, you know, to tails instead of heads every time. And people start liking DC. And Superman's going to be the key for that. So we'll cross your fingers on that and hope with us, people.
Yep.
And hope that these films in general, all of them are great.
This is probably the most...
We're just pro superhero, you know, really.
This will probably be the most important film in DC, if not Warner Brothers history in recent years. This will be one of the most important films coming out, at least from, you know, a big budget superhero standpoint. Because, you know, they're going all in on this. So It has to succeed or else, you know what? That's it. You know, David Zaslav from Discovery is going to pull the plug and that's a wrap.
Yeah.
And then guess what? James Gunn will just come right back to Marvel and make Marvel movies.
Warner Brothers presents a documentary about seahorses on the live big screen. Like you've never seen it before. If you liked Green Lantern, you'll love Space Dust. It's like, what? What the fuck? Yeah, that's all we'll get is documentaries. But anyway, anything else you want to mention real quick, Kevin?
That's it. Just like you said, you know, I agree. Yeah. You know, superheroes, we just love superhero movies as long as they're done properly. And there's a lot of depth to the superhero genre, you know, if done properly. Because guess what? The comic books that they're derived from, they hit up all different genres. Comedy, westerns, horror, action, mystery, science fiction, adventure. So, you know, a lot of people think it's just all, you know, the same type of thing. But no, superheroes and just comic books in general hit up all genres of media.
Absolutely. And if you guys out there in podcast land are listening and you're excited to talk about this, hit us up. Leave us a message. Leave us a comment. Or if you know us personally, talk to us. Reach out to us. Say, hey, I listened to your podcast. I think this. What you said was cool, but, you know, or I have an idea. And we'll go from there. We'd love to hear from you. That's why we do this, guys. So please reach out to us and let us know. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at an infamous, invincible, but always wonderful comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.